This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Well, we are in a series. We started last week in a series called Open House. And what we're trying to do here over these next couple weeks is take you on sort of a tour of our home, of this house, The Orchard. And this is a pretty important series. In fact, I was telling someone the other day that this series is probably one of the most significant series that we'll do all year. And I was thinking about that for a couple of reasons. I think one, you know, for those of us maybe who are, maybe you're new to The Orchard and you're just checking this place out and trying to figure out what we're all about, our mission and our vision and all of that. If that's you and you're maybe looking for a church home, this is a great series for you, because you're going to get a really great picture of what it is that's really behind our mission. And the other thing is, I think, the other reason I think the series is so important for us, and especially for those of us who've been around here for, you know, a long time, is because of the tendency that I think all of us have, and that is to forget why we do what we do. I'm serious. I mean, we all have that tendency, don't we, sometimes, to forget why we do what we do. Sometimes we forget. And the reason I know this is true is because there are times I know in my own life when, you know, I'm just getting consumed by the day-to-day activities of life, the stresses of life, and all the stuff that's going on. And it's so easy sometimes to just lose my focus on the things that are really important. So I find myself in those moments having to remind myself why we do what we do here. And so here's the deal. I know if I have times like that when I forget why, and I have to remind myself why we do what we do, then I am pretty sure that we all need to be reminded as to why we do what we do here. And so that's the reason this series is so important. And here's the deal. When we remember why, I mean, when we really remember why we do what we do, what it does is it gives us the fuel to keep pushing forward, because there's times, and we get tired, don't we? I mean, there's times we sacrifice of our time, we sacrifice of our talent, of our treasure, or even sometimes we get tempted to slip into that mode that we all sometimes, and I think naturally we all have this tendency, to slip into that mode of making church all about us and all about our stuff and our things and our preferences. And so what happens is when you remember why, it really what it does, it pulls us out of that and it moves us into a place to where we remember why, and that there's nothing more rewarding than being a part of something bigger than yourself. And so this series is really important to us. And last weekend we began by looking at our mission, which you guys spoke earlier out loud, and that is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and which is really just another way of saying helping to make followers of Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, I mean, that really is the goal, of helping people become more like Jesus. And since following Jesus is not a destination, but it is a journey, then really what we're doing is we're helping people to constantly move forward in their life on that journey of following Jesus. Because like we learned last weekend, you know, there's two things that we're called to do, and two things that are at the core of everything we should be believing and thinking about as followers of Christ, and that is loving God and loving people. I mean, all boils down to those two things. Loving God and loving people. And so here at The Orchard, what we've done is we've broken that down into three very vital and important relationships, which I shared with you last weekend, which are these three: intimacy with God, community with insiders, those who are a part of the church and part of the community here, and then influence with outsiders. Intimacy with God, community with insiders, and influence with outsiders. And yet, you know this as well as I do, okay? We can't make anybody grow in those relationships, can we? No, as much as I would love to be able to force you to grow in those relationships, I can't do that. But what we can do here is we can create environments where those three relationships are more likely to happen. And so that's what we've committed ourselves to here at The Orchard, is to create environments where you can grow in these three relationships: intimacy with God, community with insiders, and influence with outsiders. And so at the end of the day, the way I look at it, at the end of the day, if we've created an environment where you're growing in these relationships, then we have succeeded at our mission. We've succeeded. And so that's what we're all about, creating environments. And there are three environments that we're very focused on creating here, three very unique, very important environments, and those are, and in fact, the first one we looked at last week, and do you guys remember the name of that one? The foyer. The foyer is a really important environment here. In fact, the foyer environment is this right here. It's our weekend worship gathering. And the reason we call this a foyer is because this is the time, this is the place where we know we're going to have the most amount of guests here at the Orchard. And so we try to keep that in mind with everything we do here because we know there are going to be guests. And so our goal is to create a very safe environment. In fact, just a great environment for people no matter where they're at in their spiritual journey. And hopefully when it's all said and done, we have helped them take some steps forward on their spiritual journey. That's really what we hope happens. And so for most people, the foyer is right where it starts. Not a lot different from in your house, is it? I mean, if you think about it, when guests show up at your house, the first place they generally walk into is your foyer, right? Yet more than likely, the foyer is not the ultimate destination, is it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't really invite anybody over to just hang out in the foyer. Hey, man, we're going to pop some popcorn, and we're going to hang out in the foyer. Because the foyer is the place. No, the foyer is not a destination, is it? No, chances are in your house, your foyer serves as an entry point to some other places in your house, okay? And it's the same thing here at the Orchard. The foyer is a great entry point, and it's a great place for you to invite your unchurched friends, your family members, people you work with, and all of that. And of course, it's always a great thing, a great opportunity for those of us who are followers of Christ to come together to worship through music, to worship through giving, to grow in our faith and our intimacy with God and those things. But just like the foyer in your home is not ultimately the destination point, the foyer environment here at the Orchard is not the destination point either. Because while on one hand, you will most certainly grow in your intimacy with God, chances are you'll probably find it somewhat difficult to grow in one of those other areas, such as relationships with one another. The foyer is just kind of a tough place to do that. And so that's why we've designed a second environment that I want to talk with you about today, and that's called the living room. And see, while the foyer is designed with our guests in mind, the living room is all about building friendships. Everybody say friendships. It's about building friendships, which means that our goal for you is to be able to walk away from a living room environment and say, all right, finally, I know someone's name. Okay, finally, I've been going to church for a few weeks. I finally met someone. They go to the same service I go to, or they are kind of at the same stage of life that I'm in. I mean, that's the goal of the living room, to build friendships. And see, part of the reason that this environment is so important is because we all know that the foyer is just not the best place to meet and build relationships with people. It's just not. And see, here's the thing. It's great to come together as a large group. In fact, this is a great environment for guests because guests feel much more comfortable in a large group. And all the first-time guests, stand up and tell me if you agree with that. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. You're like, whoa, maybe not. No, but it's a great place for our guests, isn't it? The foyer is kind of a big environment, lots of people. Moving pretty fast. I mean, there's times out in that lobby that I think some of you are going to run me over. Yeah, because you're moving. You're wanting to get, I don't know where you want to go, like the buffet or what? Where are you going after church? Starbucks? Anyway, I mean, it can be kind of crazy, can't it? And so anyway, we don't really even try to make Sunday mornings the place to build a relationship. If it happens, it happens. That's great. But here's the thing. You need to know this because if you've been maybe even coming to the Orchard for a few weeks, maybe even a couple of months, and if you find yourself getting kind of frustrated because you're not meeting people or you feel like you're just not connecting, well, that's probably why, because the weekends are just not a very great environment to build friendships, which is why our living room is so important, because friendships are important. How many of you know that? Friendships are so vital. I mean, you think about your life. I mean, I know for me, I can say that if I look back at the times that God has blessed me the most in my life, it's almost always been through the avenue of relationships. Would you agree with me? I mean, think about it. When you have a need in your life, when something comes up, you need encouragement. I mean, I don't know about you, but God just does not send down that heavenly host of angels to sing an encouragement song to me. I mean, now, if that happens to you, awesome. Get it on video. We'll show it, okay? And that would be awesome. But, I mean, the primary way that God blesses me in my life is through the avenue of relationships, through friendships. And so we know friendships are important. And the primary way that those friendships occur in our lives, and especially right here in the Orchard, the primary way we build friendships is through what's called strategic service. Now, I know some of you right now, when you heard that, you were like, oh, man. Okay, so he's going to give, this is going to be like the yearly pitch to get everybody involved. And so he's going to stand up there, he's going to call us out and have us get involved. Great. And you know what? You're right, I'm going to do that. And here's the thing, we've locked the doors, so you can't even get out of here. Just kidding. And those are locked too, no. Well, so let me talk to you about strategic service, okay? And here's the reason we feel so strongly about this, okay? What we have found here at The Orchard, and you probably, if you've been around church any length of time, you'll probably agree with this, we have found that the best relationships are formed when you and I take a step out of our comfort zones in our lives, even if it's just a small one. And when we get around a group of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people and serve alongside them, man, I have found, and I could even me personally, I have found that I have built some of the greatest friendships in my life, and it all started by taking that step, getting involved through serving and connecting with others. And I'll tell you from my own experience, I know a lot of you could say the exact same thing. You know, over time, some of the greatest friendships in your life, I mean, I look out and see some of you sitting together who I know you did not know each other before you came here. And chances are the way you met was through serving in some environment here at The Orchard. Well, here's another reason why the living room is so important. Ultimately, where we want people to end up here at The Orchard is in the kitchen. The kitchen is the best environment for all kinds of reasons. One, because that's where the food's at. Oh, yeah. You guys can laugh. Seriously, it's okay. You know, church is, I get it. It's not, I'm not funny. Okay. No, but the kitchen is the ultimate place we want people to end up. The kitchen is where true community happens in your life. It's where you connect with a small group and you really begin doing life with a group of people. But here's what we recognize. Most people are not ready to walk into the foyer and jump from the foyer to the kitchen. And so the living room is a great environment for people to sort of prepare them and help them in their life as they get ready to take that next step towards true community. And so we realize not everyone's ready to make that jump. So the living room is a great opportunity for all of us in so many different ways. But it's through this thing called strategic service that those friendships begin to form. Now, let me talk to you about what strategic service is all about, okay? And I don't know how many of you might have grown up in church like I did, but chances are if you grew up in church like I did, strategic service is one of those, I guess you could say it's kind of a reaction to a lot of us growing up in church, hearing things like, you know, you guys all remember like the pastor would come up and he would just put the beg on, you know what I mean, to get people to serve. It'd be like, please help, we're dying in the nursery. I mean, we need you, please, please, please help. And of course, here's the thing, when you do that in a church, here's what happens, okay? Those people with a gift of leadership, they sit back and they go, I'll tell you what, if you had your act together, you wouldn't even need a bunch of volunteers. And then you got like the people like who got kind of that mercy gift, and they're the ones that they'll respond to it every time. I'll do it. Okay, fine, I'll help. And they sign up, and the next thing they know, they're involved in like 15 different areas, and they get burned out, and they wonder why they hate church. Okay, and so what we've decided here at The Orchard is we don't want it to be that way, okay? Because for one, we're not interested in people serving out of guilt. Okay, that's a horrible way to serve. We don't want people serving out of guilt. Maybe a little bit, but I mean not a whole lot of guilt, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing, more than anything, what we want is we want leaders leading. And we want mercy givers giving mercy. And we want exhorters exhorting. We want teachers teaching and so on and so forth. In other words, we want people to serve strategically. But beyond that, what we want is we want a group of people who will look at the church and will trust the church to answer this question: where am I needed the most? Where am I needed the most? I mean, what areas are critical to the mission? I mean, where can I serve? Not just to say, ooh, look at me, I serve. But where can I serve? Okay, where can I serve strategically so that at the end of the day, when I'm finished serving on Sunday morning or whatever time I serve, that I can feel like I have made a strategic investment in the overall mission of the church? You know that feeling when you've contributed and you walk away saying, you know what, I feel so good because I have personally helped move the ball down the field. And the mission is moving forward a little bit more today because of that area that I served in today, because of what I did. We are going forward on our mission. And so strategic service is simply this. I'll put it on the screens, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Strategic service is this: applying your heart and hands to the place of greatest demand. Would you say that with me this morning? Ready? Applying your heart and hands to the place of greatest demand. It's asking this, where is the mission critical need? And not just need as in like there's just a bunch of areas to random things to do and we just have a bunch of programs we're doing just so we can get people involved, okay? No, we don't do that here. Everything we do points back to the mission that we've been talking about these last couple of weeks. So strategic service asks that question, where is the critical need? And let me tell you, the person who embraces strategic service is the person who says, you know what, place me where the critical need is. And I will serve there, I will lead there, and as I serve in that place of critical need, then I will pray, and I will allow God to place me in that area that maybe I'm more suited for, or my specific skill set, or whatever it might be. And see, here's what happens, I think, in so many churches, and I've seen this before, is I think a lot of times we come into churches with this idea that, okay, there's got to be that one little niche that I know God wants to use me in, but we don't quite know what it is, and so we show up, and there's all these opportunities to plug in around us, but we don't plug in because we're too busy trying to figure out what that little niche is. And sometimes I'm convinced that we will not figure out what that niche is until we take a step of faith and just plug in and help with the mission. Because I really believe, and I mean, I've seen this in my own life, that faithfulness produces promotion in our lives. Faithfulness, when you're faithful, and when you walk through those doors that God opens in your life, you'd be blown away at the kind of opportunities God brings into your life. And so people who embrace strategic service are people who realize that we are about the most important thing that a group of people can be about. And here's the other thing. They realize that every single part of the mission, every single piece of this thing we do here at the Orchard is critical to this mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so here's what we do. We create environments, right? We create environments, we train, and we empower leaders to lead those environments, and then we invite people to serve in those environments because, again, the only thing we can do is create environments where God's Spirit can do His work in people's life. And see, that's why some of you who are new here, and I know because I've heard you say this, some of you who are new, you might be saying, you know what, I don't even believe all this stuff. And I'm certainly not clear about this whole Jesus thing. Okay, it's a little cloudy there for me, but you know what? I've been coming for 6 weeks, and you know what? It's funny, but I can hardly wait for the next one. In fact, I put my kids back there with your leaders in Wahabu Land, and before they go in, I tell them, I don't believe everything they tell you, okay? But we'll be back next week. And you're thinking to yourself, why in the world would I wake up every Sunday morning and go be a part of something that I'm not even totally sure that I buy into? Well, let me tell you why. It's because you're surrounded by some incredible people who understand that this is not about volunteering for some random need to keep the boat afloat. I mean, first of all, no one wants to be a part of that. Who, you know? I said, no one wants to be, I don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to be a part of that. See, you're surrounded by men and women, and I'll tell you, it takes easily a couple hundred, 200-300 of us to say, you know what, I'm willing to apply my heart and my hands to the place of greatest demand. And as I serve in those environments, as I'm faithful, I am wide open to wherever God may lead me or where other leaders may point me. But in the meantime, I'm not going to just sit around and warm a seat. I am going to get off the bench, and I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to go for it. And I'm telling you, and when you get a group of people together like that, who think like that and who serve like that, I'm telling you, you have the ingredients to do something powerful. I'm reminded of a story in the Scriptures. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Acts real quick. Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts chapter 6. And Acts is an interesting book in the Bible. In fact, in case you don't know this, Acts is basically the story of what happened after Jesus left. Some of you know there were 12 disciples, okay? One of them betrayed Jesus, and actually one of them committed suicide, hung himself, and then it went down to 11. And then and then of course Jesus died, right? Jesus died, he rose again, and was seen by over 500 people after he rose again from the dead. And then Jesus said, "Okay, I got to go. Bye, bye, bye." And he took off. And the disciples and his followers were like, "Whoa. Okay, now what?" And Acts is the story of now what? Acts talks to us about what happened after Jesus took off. and it tells the story of what happened. Because, see, don't forget, when Jesus was here on this earth, and when he left, okay, there was no organized church. There were no denominations. I know this is hard for somebody to believe. There was no Catholic church. There was no Baptist church. I could get in real trouble for saying that. But there's no organized church. There was no denomination. There was no 501c3. There were no church websites or blogs. No, I know. There was no marketing. There were no flannel graphs. Oh, nowhere. If you don't know what flannel graphs are, just be glad you don't know what they are. Because if you had flannel graphs going up, then to you, Jesus is white, middle class, suburban, who's from Iowa. Anyway, so here's this church. They're brand new. They don't know really what they're doing, and you just got a bunch of people who believed that Jesus had raised from the dead. And so the only place they really know to look for any kind of instruction or guidance or leadership were to the men who were closest to Jesus. Okay, some fishermen, some tax collectors, some zealots, some people we don't even know. Just a bunch of people who probably didn't really have the greatest leadership skills to begin with. And all they knew was, okay, here's what Jesus did, here's what Jesus said, and here's what we know for sure, okay? Whether you like it or not, we saw a dead man walking. So what we're supposed to do with that, we're not totally sure. We're going to figure this out. And so they went to their graves believing that. And so the book of Acts is about what they did. It's about the beginning of the church. It's actually an exciting book. You should read it if you haven't. And so here in Acts chapter 6, we are introduced to our very first church problem. Yeah, and you thought it was just your last church, didn't you? Ha ha. See, your last church isn't the only one. The problem started way back in the first century. Did you know that? Church problems started all the way back in the first century. You know why? You know why churches have problems? Because every church has problems. If you haven't discovered one here yet, you will. Don't worry. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some point you're not going to like me for one reason or another. I promise. I'm just going to get that out in the open right now. But you're going to learn to love me anyway, right? Some of you are like, yeah, that's right. We've learned. Anyway, no, here's the reason churches have problems. You want to know why? Here's why. Do you guys remember this? When you were growing up in church, here's the church. Oh, yeah, come on. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. See all the what? Fingers? No, people. Because churches are made up of people. And if you take away the people, what do you have? You have a building that you can do like piano recitals in or something. Put ice in here, do ice skating rink or something. I don't know. But if you take away the people, you don't have a church. And so since the church is made up of people, you're going to have problems. And so, of course, here the early church had a problem. And plus, the church was brand new. I mean, no real structure, no organization. They're just trying to figure this thing out. And so they have this problem. Let me show you what happens. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing. Now, let me just stop real quick and say that the word disciples right here is not referring to the 12 apostles, okay? We're talking about here the thousands of men and women who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, okay? who, by the way, were almost all Jewish. Okay, and we're told here that the number was increasing. In other words, the church was exploding. In fact, in one place, we're told that in one day, over 3,000 people came to know Christ. Can you imagine that? Over 3,000 people. Can you imagine the barbecue and baptism we'd have? Oh, yeah. Anyway, so something really big was happening. It goes on to say this, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, let me explain real quick what this is all about. Okay, in those days, there were typically two groups of Jews in that area. There were the Grecian Jews, and there were the Hebraic Jews. Now, the Hebraic Jews were the Jews who lived in Israel and specifically in Jerusalem. Okay, now the Grecian Jews were the Jews who lived all over that part, all over different parts of the world, or that area. And because of that, they had a real heavy Greek influence in their life. So while they certainly believed in and practiced Judaism, they lived very much like Greek people, which was very different from Jewish tradition. And so anyway, what happened is that when Passover came, thousands of these Grecian Jews would journey back to Jerusalem to be close to the temple and partake of Passover. And that's where things started getting complicated. Okay, because now you have these two groups of Jews, okay, and they're living together, they're sharing meals together, they're sharing money. I mean, all kinds of things. And there's literally thousands of them congregating together. And one day, the Grecian Jews show up complaining that to the Hebrew about the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked with the food. And so the people who are defending the widows go to the leaders and say, okay, listen, your sermons are great and everything, okay, but our widows are starving. They are hungry. And your widows, okay, we got to understand, your widows are getting preferential treatment over our widows. And here's what else, okay, someone parked in my parking place at church the other day. That's right. Oh, and when I showed up this Sunday, someone was sitting in my seat. That's right. And you know what else? The music was too loud. That's right. And all of a sudden, okay, and all of a sudden you've got this, like, I was here first thing going on, and it just turned into this, and just turned into this big mess. And so now, you know, here's Peter, you know, he's sitting there and he's getting this complaint and he's going, okay, well, all I know is that I was a fisherman and Jesus said follow him, so I stopped doing that, I followed him, and what did you say about your windows? Oh, widows. I'm sorry. Okay. And then all of a sudden you've got these guys. Okay, there's no organization. There's no structure. They didn't have job titles and all of that. There's just a bunch of guys leading this very organic movement. And so they get together and they say, okay, now what are we going to do, guys? We obviously have a problem here. Basically, okay, we're busy like 24 hours a day. We're talking to people. We're teaching people. Everybody wants a bit of our attention. So what do? So they get together, and here's what happens. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. In other words, okay, look, we realize there's a problem here that needs to be addressed. But we are not the ones to do it. We just can't. And besides, I'm Peter, and believe me, you need me to stay focused on telling you what Jesus said because, frankly, I don't know how long I'm even going to be around here for. Okay, and John, okay, same thing with him. Okay, you need John to stay focused on what he's doing because, again, John, he's a most wanted guy. I mean, you know, he might not be here for very long. And so this is definitely an important issue, but we're not the ones to do it. Now, I want to show you verse 3. Notice in verse 3, it's interesting because it doesn't say that they just turned around and said, okay, we beg everyone, please step up. Whoever wants to, we need some volunteers. In fact, we need 7. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you guys are good. Come on. No, seriously, come on. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, look what it says. Acts 6, verse 3. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay, and so they say, look, we want you to go pick a handful of men of certain quality, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and we're going to delegate this responsibility to them. And they're saying, okay, look, this is very important because if we stop what we're doing, okay, then we're going to get off mission. Yet, if we ignore the problem, okay, then it turns into a really big problem, and then our mission will be hurt, okay? So we need some more hands, and we need some more hearts to come and engage and to work together and so that we can stay on mission. And so they said, great idea. So they went, and they find 7 guys, turned it over, and it says one of the guys they chose, you'll find, was a guy by the name of Stephen. And you talk about a guy that God does a great work through. I mean, Stephen, if you think about it, I mean, he starts his serving career as a waiter, you know, serving, and he becomes a very, very famous guy. And it's just interesting, he got his start by serving widows. And I think what a great example of how faithfulness produces promotion in our life. Now, if you're like me, okay, so you're reading the story, they get these people, they're going to take care of the widows. You would think, like I probably am thinking or would think, is that the next verse would say something like this. Okay, so all of the widows were fed, and everyone was happy, and they all lived happily ever after. But that's not what it says, okay? I want to show you. Look at this, verse 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Did you catch that? So the word of God spread. Now, the word so is like a connector, right? I mean, it's kind of like saying, as a result of what just happened, the word of God spread. Now, wait a minute. Okay, what in the world does feeding widows have to do with the word of God being spread? Okay, well, here's what I want you to see. Don't miss this. Okay, look. As there was a critical need, a certain group of people stepped up to meet that critical need. And as a result, the entire mission flourished. And we're told that the number of disciples grew rapidly. In fact, growing like crazy. Suddenly, when this specific need was met, it literally sped up the growth of the church. And the priest, I think this is interesting, the priest, it says that a large number of priests, now don't forget, these priests are the guys who were behind the crucifixion of Jesus himself. I mean, these are the guys who stood in the corners and did absolutely nothing while Jesus was being crucified. I mean, we're talking arch enemies of Jesus, and now they have become obedient to the faith. Now that sounds like something pretty powerful to me. Okay, now here's the principle. Okay, and this is so important. Let's come back to the year 2007 here at the Orchard, okay? And if you've been around here for any length of time, you know and you've seen that God is really doing something significant here in our church community. You just feel that and sense that, and you see it. I mean, the momentum is tremendous. New people, new families showing up all the time. We're running out of space. I mean, right now our children's ministry, they're about to take over this room, and then we're outside. But I mean, seriously, some great things are happening. Bottom line, God is doing something. We're getting ready to, in 5 weeks from now, we're going to be starting our third weekend service, Saturday night service. It's going to be happening. I'm telling you, God is doing something big at the Orchard. And let me assure you of this, okay? The thing that will facilitate the growth of the Orchard will not be my sermons. It will not be the music. It will not be the videos, okay? The thing that will facilitate the growth is the hundreds of men and women who understand that there are no menial, non-critical parts to this thing called the church and this place called the Orchard. And let me tell you something. The reason the Orchard is where we're at today and the reason we're going to go where God has taken us into the future is because all of you who realize that every single part of it is important. And who realize that it's not just about standing out there in the hallway shaking hands just to shake hands. And it's not just about serving in children's ministry to babysit. No, you realize that this is about lives. It's about lives that are being changed. And you've heard it, I've heard it, story after story of people whose lives have gone a completely different direction as they have begun their journey of following Jesus. And I'm telling you, the thing that is going to take us into the future is not just a realization that we have a bunch of volunteers, okay? No, listen, it's going to be because we have a group of men and women who have embraced the concept of strategic service and whose hands and their hearts have been reaching into that place of greatest demand. That right there is the spirit of strategic service. It's saying, where is the point of greatest need? Put me in. I'm in. And as I serve in that place, as I serve in that place of greatest need, of the most strategic concern, then I will prayerfully trust that God will take me to where my gift and my skills are going to be maximized. But in the meantime, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. I'm not just going to warm a chair week after week after week. I am going to get up. I'm going to get plugged in. I'm listening. I'm learning. And I am engaged. So here's the deal. This last week, as we were talking about today's service, you know, we were planning out the service and we're going, man, maybe we should have like one of those videos that just hit people right here. Because, man, we just got to maximize the impact. Well, let's have like somebody come up on the stage and talk about how their life has been changed from serving. Man, let's get some kind of, maybe we should use an organ this week. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't say that. Because you get the organ going, man. It's like, ooh. But you know what's funny? The more we talked about this, the more we thought about it, was you know what? What this community needs is not just this big emotional pull, okay? But instead, I think what we need here today is just simply a very simple invitation to all of you to join in on this mission. That's it. Okay, so here's the deal. As we prepare for this third service that we're going to be launching in 5 weeks, as we continue to reach more people, as we continue to move forward in what God has for us, I need to ask for every single one of us who call this their church home to get engaged. We need you to be engaged. Now, if you need time, if you've been attending and maybe you're fairly new and you need time, maybe God's doing some healing work in your life, maybe you need time to just kind of just allow God to do some things inside of you, we understand that. Maybe you're new, you're visiting, and you just aren't sure about this whole thing, and you don't know what to think. I understand sometimes you need time, but I'm going to tell you, if you come here week after week after week, and you know this is your home church, you have a responsibility to serve. And if you're not going to serve, and if all you're going to do is come in and get and get and get and get and never give back, I'm going to tell you, chances are at some point we're going to need to ask you for your seat. And that's where everybody goes, dang, that was kind of uncomfortable. Because, see, this church is called to a mission that requires every heart, every hand engaged. Can I get some kind of amen this morning? Thank you. And so we want to invite you. And see, here's what I think is going to happen. As you engage in one of our strategic service areas, 6 months later, 3 months later, whatever, you're going to be saying, you know what? I tell you, it's going to happen. You know what, Scott? Got to be honest. You made me feel a little guilty when you said that whole thing about the seats. And I signed up. I'm going to tell you, it was one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life. And you know, I got to be honest, I kind of went in kicking and screaming. Oh yeah, I didn't really want to do it. But you know what? Once I got plugged in, I got to tell you, I have met some of the finest people in the world on this team that I serve on. And you know what? I can't even imagine now not being involved. I can't even imagine showing up on the weekends if this is my home church and not being involved. And not having my hands and my heart engaged. I got an email this last week I want to share with you, and it's exactly what I'm talking about right here. Listen to these words. Scott, a year ago, I volunteered in the children's ministry. I didn't know what to expect. What do I do? What if it's wrong? And all the other thoughts that don't really matter. And he writes this, here's what matters, okay? Here's what matters. Spending my Sunday morning with the fifth and sixth grade boys makes my week. I get to hear about a moment in their week. Maybe it's about a ball game or a situation with a bully at school, or they have this new joke they want to tell you. And he says this, if you open your heart, you realize what's important in their life. Ask a child about the homeless and hungry, and they automatically say, just feed them and give them a place to live. They don't understand why countries go to war and don't take care of their sick and elderly. They don't have hatred towards others because their skin might be a different color or their religious beliefs are different than theirs. He goes on to say this, to a child, it just seems the normal thing to do is to reach out and take care of a problem. Believe me when I say this, Scott, I get all of that just from spending an hour a week with these kids. And they're the perfect example of what God wants all of us to become. They're innocent, they're honest, and they don't judge others. He wraps it up by saying this, the way I look at it now is that I do not volunteer to be with them. They volunteer to be with me, and I'm a better person because of it. It's a privilege to start my week with a group of young people that make me realize what's important, that God is working through them in my life. I thank God every day for letting me be a part of this. This whole orchard experience makes me a better person. Like the song, if they could see me now, I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. We love the way you touch our lives. I'm telling you, this is the most important and significant mission that anybody can be a part of. And you know this as well as I do, okay? It's not about one person doing their thing. It is about hundreds of men and women coming together to become an irresistible church. And so I want to invite you this morning to engage your heart and to engage your hands in the place of greatest demand. In a few minutes, we're going to hear a song, and when the song starts, the welcome teams are going to come, and they're going to pass a card down each aisle. And on this card, you're going to see four areas of strategic need that we have right now, four areas of greatest demand, four of what we're calling mission critical areas here at the Orchard. And let me just tell you what they are. Here's put a picture of one up on the screens here for you. This is what the card looks like, and there's four areas. The first area is welcome teams. We need to ramp up our welcome teams. We need men and women who have a great attitude. Now, if you're not very friendly, that's probably not the best place for you. Okay, because we want to make people feel good when they come to the Orchard, okay? But if you have a great attitude and you want to help, that's one of the, I'll tell you, welcome teams is one of the most strategic areas in the church we have, because you heard me say this last week, the sermon begins where? In the parking lot. Sermon begins when they walk into that door, these doors back here. And I'll tell you what, if they don't feel welcomed, then you know what? It's going to affect every bit of their journey from that point on that day. So the first area is welcome teams. The next area is common grounds. Common grounds is our coffee bar. And I'll tell you, this is a very, very, very important area because this is where the coffee is made. Thank you for that. Now, again, common grounds is our coffee bar. Now, can I just say something? We don't do a coffee bar just because it's cool or because I have a little bit of an issue with caffeine. We do a coffee bar. It's very strategic. We do a coffee bar because when someone walks in these doors and it smells like Starbucks, they walk and they go, wow, it smells good in here. You know what? Defenses go down. Walls go down. When I'm here, and they're sitting out there, and they have their cup of coffee in their hand. You know what? It makes it a lot easier to say some hard things. And so there's a very important element to our coffee bar. So if you love coffee or you enjoy being around a high-energy environment, which it is because they're drinking it, I guess, this is the place for you. The next area is our Orchard Kids, our kids ministry. I'll tell you what. First of all, let me say this. If you have a child involved in children's ministry, if you bring your kids here, and they're getting impacted, you need to be serving at some point in the month in our children's ministry. You need to give back so that other parents can experience. I heard recently we actually had to turn parents away because we didn't have enough teachers in one of the rooms. Do you know what? That sucks. And I guess I did say sucks, but it does. It sucks. We should not be turning anyone away. And so if you have a child who serve, or who is a part of our children's ministry, you should give back. Serve just once a month. And all the teachers in here said, amen to that. Anyway, here's one last area. And see, here's another thing. We don't do babysitting here. It's not babysitting. This is not child care. We do care for your kids, but it's not just child care. We're investing, and we do background checks on everyone who serves back there. And if you don't like background checks, or you don't want a background check done, then you won't be let in because we really take security and safety seriously here at the Orchard, okay? But we train you, we give you the tools you need to invest well into our children. The last area is production. Production, if you like technology and if you like audio, visual, and all that kind of stuff, if you're talented in that area, even if you're not, you just want to learn, we have incredible opportunities for you in that arena as well. If you're that person that keeps emailing me to say the music's too loud, the sound might be a great area for you to get involved in. Maybe you could help with the problem. Anyway, but production, and I'll tell you, considering these next few weeks, we're going to be doing some stuff in here that's just going to blow your mind, and there's a great opportunity to get plugged in and learn some incredible things with our technology. So those are the four areas of strategic service: welcome teams, common grounds, Orchard Kids, and production. And here's what you need to understand. We're not asking you to commit for the next 4 or 5 years. No, what we're asking you to do is to try it out. And here's the thing. You may jump into one of these areas, and you might decide, you know what, this isn't a good fit. I don't think I want to do, I think I'd rather try something else. That's okay. There's plenty of areas to be involved in. But the goal is here is that you would take a step of faith and get involved somewhere. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do. Okay, in a few minutes, Mike's going to lead us into a song. And let me just say, on this card right here, you're going to get one of these in just a minute. There's a part right down here that says, in addition, There's a place for you here to commit to being a part of our Saturday night service launch happening on Saturday, October 20th. We're starting a Saturday night service. It's going to be at 5 o'clock on Saturday evenings. And like I shared last weekend, what we need to make this really happen with the kind of momentum we want it to have is we need to ask 125 people to commit to attending Saturday night services so that we can free some seats up in this environment Sunday mornings. And what we're asking people to do, we're asking those 125 people to commit for 10 weeks to attending Saturday night service. If you don't like it, you come back to Sunday morning after 10 weeks. And chances are you're going to like it because, I mean, you know, then you can sleep in on Sunday mornings whenever you want and not feel guilty about it. Anyway, so 10 weeks we were going to ask you to commit. And can I tell you, we announced this last week, and we already have over half the people we need for that. And then in our first service, thank you. That's good, isn't it? You can clap for that. And so, and how many do we have in first? 25. So we need, what, 40-something people in this service who would say, you know what, I'll commit for 10 weeks at our Saturday night service. And so I just want to say thank you guys for making Saturday nights happen. Are you guys excited? I'm excited about what's happening here. And if you can help, just mark that on the card. Here's where I want to serve. And there's four areas. We want you to number these in the order of preference. Number one, two, three. This is the first area I'd love to be involved with. If that fills up too quick, here's my second choice. Here's my third choice. And what I want you to do is when you leave here today, there's going to be welcome team members as well as Cousin Guido is going to be back at the doors too to collect your card that needs to be filled out. No, I'm just kidding. But they're going to get the cards from you. And here's the thing. If you're sitting here right now saying, you know what, I'm not sure. I just have a lot of questions. Out in the lobby are going to be tables with each of these areas represented. And there's candy on the table, which is incentive to go. And but there's also going to be people there who would love to tell you more about these areas and would love to share more with you and tell you what your next step would be. So either fill it out. Actually, fill it out now, put it at the door when you leave, or go by one of our tables at the end of our service. You guys, thank you so much. Let me say this. Thank you for stepping up. Thank you for taking the mission so serious. And I'm telling you, this is such a significant step this morning. Because I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. When the Church of Jesus Christ is doing what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing, lives are going to be changed. And people will see that following in this way of Jesus is the absolute best way to live our lives. And they will see that following Jesus is not something that was just great a couple thousand years ago, but they will see that it is something that is powerful for today. And it's powerful enough to transform those marriages that are suffering. And it's powerful enough to make us better parents, to make us better leaders in our workplaces. And it's powerful enough to break us out of those destructive patterns, those habits that we so easily get bound up in our lives. And it's powerful enough to introduce us to such a new and better way of living, and that, of course, is Jesus. And I'll tell you, I'm reminded of this every time I hear someone say to me, Scott, listen, thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the Orchard. Our kids love this place. Man, our teenagers, they stay awake the whole time. My husband, he actually wants to come to church for a change. You know what they're saying when they say those things? They're saying to me on your behalf, they're saying, thank you for your investment. Thank you for staying mission sensitive and mission focused. Thank you for creating these environments. And I am truly experiencing a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and my life has never been the same. So here's my question for you today. Are you in? Are you in? Are you ready to get off the bench and into the game? That is my invitation to you today. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, this morning, I just can't even talk about this stuff without just getting so moved in my heart. God, I really believe in this place, and I know that I share that same feeling with this room full of people right now, that you are doing something unique. You are doing something so great in our church community. And God, you're inviting us today. You're inviting us to not just say that we're your followers, but you're inviting us to step out. You're inviting us to take that step of faith and to say, you know what, I want to engage my hands, I want to engage my heart in those mission-critical areas. God, I know that as we do that, as we take that step of faith, God, as we're consistent, as we're faithful, God, you will guide us and you will lead us into those places you desire us to be. God, would you do something big in our lives? Would you do something big in our hearts? Would you prepare us for what's ahead? Thank you for letting us be a part of this place. Thank you for calling us to the greatest mission of the world. And as the welcome teams come and as they give us these cards, God, would you help us to hear your voice right now as we fill these cards out and commit? We ask that now in your son's name. Amen.